we were informed that the department has made progress in appointing the CFO. It looks like today we've got a brand new CFO with us. We'll hear whether he has hit the ground running. But one thing for sure, knowing the department, that is one of the biggest departments around, he may need to take a lot of time to really know what is happening there and where to find and find his place as well in the department. But surely he's supposed to be a veteran in the finance area and sector, and he should be able to assist us as and when it is required. We are having a delegation today led by the acting DG, who is actually a deputy director general for civil service. But today is an acting boss. And then also we have got Utlan Mavuzo, the chief operations officer is here. And we have the new CFO. I've never come across this name before, so I can't claim that I'll be able to pronounce it. And I need to be helped with the meeting.
I'm also investigating.
Okay, but the G Honambi is our new CFO. And then we've got Josephine Mayer. Is here, yes. Josephine here is an acting chief director for supply chain and asset management. And then we've got Mr. George Orekwang. George Orekwang is also the acting chief director for budget and revenue. And then we've got our own Riaz Musa, the deputy director, parliamentary liaison and cabinet support. And then also we have the PLO. Yes, he's here. As usual, of course. And if I'm asked to write a recommendation for having attended to all our meetings, I'll do so without hate. Yes. So I think that's the delegations that we're receiving from our affairs to actually entertain us on the first quarter expenditure and performance report. Honorable members, I have got one apology. One apology from Dr. Muller. That's the only apology that I'm having in front of me. And also just simply to try and attend to one thing. For administrative purposes, honorable members must assist us that apologies must be sent in time, because others are sending apologies 15 minutes before the time, and when the secretariat is already at the venue and the apologies reach the other side, and during the meeting don't recall the apologies, but when they get to their office and they find these documents lying on their computers, if it could be done in time, I think it will make life a lot more easy. Then I think the lot of noise that I've been making, honorable members, and the delegation was to really welcome all of us to this session and ensure that we actually get the information that we require from the department, so that we are able to assist the department as and when it is required. And on that score, honorable members, I would like to get the acting DG Uba Mkhize, and then to actually get down to the work and give us the presentation. I hope that all of us are having the presentation in our hands. And if there's anybody that doesn't have the presentation, probably can just give an indication. None except the media at the back. Nandipa, do we have any other copy that we can spare for the honorable journalist at the back there? Okay, Mamukizi, but you can go. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to all the honorable members. And Honorable Chair, we are here to present the quarter one and the comments of the department as against the planned targets. So, and the Honorable Chair indicated that the Director General is abroad, and that is why then the acting DG at this stage. And Honorable Chair, and I also apologize for Mr. McKay. He is likely to join us a bit later. He's just having a meeting with the minister. Hopefully he will be able to, when he's released in an area, he will be able to join us. Mr. McKay, the DG for Immigration Services. Honorable Chair, from pages 2 to page, if I get to page 9, those are the presentations we have made before in relation to the strategic objective when we're presenting the ATK. So I will request maybe Honorable Chair not to repeat those facts. So starting with page, just at the high level, page 10, where we indicate in high level performance between April and the end of June. And the main target of replacing the smart ID cards and making sure that the young people get them. We were able to issue 208,000 smart ID cards to citizens 16 years of age and above, including the 6-year old. The medium-term expenditure for your business was developed and submitted to National Treasury. This was aimed at motivating why the department believes it needs some additional funding in terms of its pressure and against its mandate. And therefore, then we just need to make our case as a National Treasury. And this was developed and submitted to them. That is the rate as against the funded victim positions. We have a placement below 10% average. That we would like to take as a critical baseline or red line when the condition is at a critical shortage, it will be above that. The issuance of the first issues for ID to the within the turnaround time 54 working days, we have maintained this target. We have been able to issue that. 95% of ID reissues. These are people who get IDs after they lost or misplaced IDs, and so on, which are issued within the 30 days or 47 days. Then there is a toolkit aimed at improving performance and management at frontline offices, so that then our frontline offices are more custom care and more responsive. So we've got a standardized toolkit that assists managers at the front offices. It's in fact as well, we call it a toolkit. It guides them on all issues relating to what happens before you open, what happens with the finances, what you do with the closure of the day, how to deal with financial matters, how to deal with staff attendance. It's just a very good tool that assists managers to say, if I have a problem, do I have my toolbox? And then they take it out, how do I intervene in this situation? So that toolkit we have planned to ensure that it is launched and is developed. The Border Management Agency feasibility study has started, and then that is why also the national is not here, because now the next stage was about benchmarking to look at the broader concepts of how the countries deal with Border Management Agency. Project to survey communities along the borderline commenced, and we started in the area of KwaZulu-Natal along the area of Kanyagude, where we've got the border of Mozambique and Swaziland. And then that team is working quite hard to do the survey of the communities living there, just determining their identities, whether they are citizens or non-citizens, are they registered, or are they not having their facts registered. So that work is continuing. The immigration policy discussion paper was refined based on research, and then 50% of permanent residence applications are adjudicated within 8 months. In fact, the target was done beyond. We will take the report later. Same thing with 62% of business critical skills general work permit. This is the work that we also focused on. 62% of business critical skills permits adjudicated business for applications processed within the country. what are the challenges that we encounter as a department? We just want to force these health challenges we grapple with on a daily basis, and even during this order, it was no exception. Honorable Chair, the issue of asylum seeker and refugee management still remains a challenge based on the volumes that we get, as well as the misrepresentations that people do make to claim to be asylum when they are not. And therefore, then, we're looking quite moving forward around the issue of moving these centers, rotating them to the borderline, where then people can be processed on arrival. And then overall of the building system and border management, as we are aware of what has been one of the chair members, with our VFS system that we are busy with. And then depending on the development of public works and CETA, public works towards the challenge more that remains in terms of our offices, accommodation, as well as for expansion. And then CETA is in relation to all our systems depend on the CETA for us to be able to work. And then honorable members, I have read in one or the other, either clients coming to them complaining that home affairs systems are down, or systems are very slow, they are queuing long times. And that has been largely to the issue of the challenges we have with CETA. Then the non-integration of IT systems, as honorable member will know, and then Jefferson, that we have got the issue there of developing the national identification system. Records management, dealing with millions of paper-based records, manual records, that impact on how we are able to resolve a number of products relating to amendments, to business certifications. All these things are dependent on records. And currently as a department, we're dealing with high volumes of paper-based records at different repositories also. And so we are just having that as a challenge, the impact on service delivery. Lack of capacity in critical areas such as the surgery, the fight against unlawful activities, and that is counter-corruption program that we have as a department. Improvement of administration, especially financial and financial management, is one of the areas we're working hard to ensure that we improve on that area. And then ensuring that staff are appropriately trained, professional, and caring in line with our role, with the role of the Learning Academy. These are just aimed at ensuring or at demonstrating progress made in terms of how the department is working hard to make sure that overall we continue to improve our performance and as per plan target. And as we can show that there has been significant progress. In fact, from 2011, and if you look at the difference, it's almost double the performance of 2011. But this is yet to be tabled, it's 53% for 2013-14. And so we cannot really present it here as yet a audited outcome. And then for the quarter one, achieved 69% of the targets that were planned, and then the rate limitation of targets that we were not able to achieve in the quarter as we planned. That's just an overall summary for quarter one. And that's the essence of our presentation on the project. Program one, under administration, we have the following objectives that we stated to the portfolio committee, and they have not changed. They remain ensuring that the enabling documents are issued relating to identity and status of citizens, as well as permanent residents. Two is the issue of integrated digital national identification system that is secure and contains biometric details. Again, I will not go into detail because it was explained before, but this is just to make sure that eventually all our systems, immigration and civic systems, we only have one population registered in this country, and that is the main of the national identification system. But that's the biggest difference we bring, not just that it is integrating systems, but that also we've got biometric details of each and every person, a citizen or non-citizen, as long as you come across the corners of the country and you reside in South Africa, whether it's a temporary solution or it's a permanent solution. To ensure secure certification, acceptable services, good governance and administration, ensure ethical conduct and zero tolerance to approach to crime, fraud and corruption, collaboration with stakeholders in support of enhanced service delivery and objectives. Jen, I wanted to share the initial project objectives 1.1 and our target for the year is in relation to the last chapter, the vendor offices, that will at the end of this financial year. So for quarter one, the intention was just to make sure that we acquire equipment and then we are ready for quarter two to roll out to offices. This target was not entirely achieved, but we finalized procurement processes in relation to IT equipment and to make sure that the 40 offices will then be able to start rolling out the second quarter, but also to pilot with the banks and post offices, that is staff for offices, where we're looking at how we can best expand our footprint in areas where we have no presence or limited presence as a department. But also then the offices that we rolled out where after analysis and assessment that they might be running short of equipment and the volumes are high, we needed to make sure we augment or we complement additional equipment there. Last capture rolled out to 20 additional offices and we were able to achieve that, and then supply database for modernization project was also completed. The next target is in relation to the national identification system that we're developing. Quarter one was just to make sure that we are able to develop user specifications and make sure that those specifications are ready for the system to be developed. And then they form the basis, Honorable Chair, as well as members, to then develop a system because part of user specification, you then develop technical specifications. And only after that can the system be configured, developed, and designed. So this was done. Technical system of trusted traveler program completed by information services. The service provider has not yet been contracted to deal with the trusted traveler program. The contract with the service provider could not be signed as PG at first to brief the current minister. So that when we engage with the service provider and move forward, and the new minister doesn't find himself or herself signing the contract, allowing the department to engage into that huge project without him being briefed. So that was the rationale behind why we didn't go further at that point. The e-permitting system completed by information services branch and handed over. But look, Honorable Chair, I can just elaborate a bit on the previous slide, slide 15. The issue of the trusted traveler is really aimed at ensuring that people who come to South Africa as frequently as they do, almost like the Subasutus who come here in and out, if we can help, that's why it is targeting to be piloted in the port post where a lot of people come in and out and keep them in their passports. Now to try and minimize that, to have an electronic system that will just allow to be able to move in and out and capture using biometrics using the traveler system. It will assist a lot. So that is the concept behind trusted travel, so that we will minimize the issue of queues in this border and people are able to then be checked. We will still have the immigration officers, definitely not remove them, but it just means that it will facilitate easy movement in and out of the country, and then therefore areas of Basutu, so that is what we're looking at. And then on the e-permitting system, the service provider has been appointed, the development of the back-end system has started, completion of the e-permit back-end system will be completed in-house by the department's IT system, ISP. So we are currently at that time of reporting and of quarter testing is what we have started to. The third objective, 3.1, is issue of efficient accessible service delivery to citizens and immigrants. The intention is that here we make sure that for you to be efficient in performing your functions, you have to have well-trained, skilled, qualified officials who understand the business of the department. And therefore, we plan that we must be able to have 90 people, officials appointed by department, undertaken through a program of the department. Now, design of the new lane according to the official trend on the issue in that problem before commencement of service. In other words, avoiding to take them to start working before they are trained on core issues of department and in that this has not been achieved. During this quarter, only 43% of newly appointed officials were trained on the DSA induction program before they could come the service. Because of some pressures, other people had to start service and then be taken out of service to go and be trained. And therefore, you will have minimal disruptions in the areas because we had some pressures, particularly in some calls of action, where we couldn't wait until the program of training started. So we had to make sure that at the end of the day, those people will then be trained and come back and be trained once the 43% was done. This is a new program and has to be institutionalized. And in quarter two, it is progressing well as we speak now with 45 officials currently attending. In fact, they were attending in July and August, 85 of them who are new and have been inducted in the program. 300 officials enrolled and trained in skills development skills program emanating from the National Certificate of Home Affairs Services. 75 officials enrolled here. We did not achieve this target, Honorable Chair and members. And 71 officials were enrolled and trained on civic services skills program in the following provinces: KwaZulu-Natal 23, Free State 22, Western Cape 26, and this gave us a total of 71. Instead of 75, so we're even short of 4. Hundred managers and 18 hundred managers enrolled and trained in leadership. That is an annual target. Service provider was to be appointed in quarter one, and that has been done. And progress made at this stage is that the National School of Governance appointed as a service provider. Secondly, these are the following courses under which the managers will be trained: image management development program for 20 junior managers and in the province of Western Cape as well as Northwest, and then advanced management development program for 20 middle managers in the Eastern Cape and 20 in KwaZulu-Natal. Then senior managers will be taking the training on first module on at the National School of Governance, appointed to facilitate the leading innovation in the public service program for 20 senior managers. That will be the course on lean innovation. And then second module, operations management. This is going to become quite critical, Honorable Chair, because of affairs, we realized that there was no other way. We're dealing with production. At the end of the day, people apply and they're on the product. And to deal with that, to improve your processes and your systems, you need to make sure that people understand the concept of operations management. So we'd like to institutionalize that and make sure that SMS members understand how to run operation end to end. The next objective is about good governance and administration, accurate and complete financial statements. We report here that our target for quarter one was to have accurate and complete annual financial statements submitted to AG by the 31st of May. We are reporting here that that was done, so we were able to meet that target, and the progress which was made, we got it back through acknowledgement from the AG, and in fact the statement was submitted by the production. And in the monitoring reports submitted to National Treasury on a monthly basis, this is the Honorable Chair will do it, and in the monitoring report submitted on a monthly basis, and this target is achieved, and it's aimed at ensuring that we've got compliance with the governance and administration requirements also as the DPSA guidelines, the National Treasury guidelines. So all reports were submitted by 2 days. And furthermore, we needed to then accurate and complete annual statements, financial statements, information submitted to AG by the 31st of May. And this was done. Annual financial statements were submitted to the Auditor General by the 30th. Three days, 2014-15 and 1 day, 2013-14 quarterly performance reports verified been approved by EXCO and signed off by the Director General within 60 days after each quarter. It's part of the compliance issue. This was achieved, and the quarter four performance reports were verified and approved by the internal management of the department EXCO. Then the executive management comprised of the Director General and the DDGs. Then that was submitted to the engineer. The hidden case that we made reference to earlier in relation to the case of Home Affairs, what are our mandates and what are our responsibilities vis-a-vis and what are our needs, is what was submitted to Minister for consideration, and it was done, and the draft hidden case was then developed and submitted to Minister the 10th of June 2014 for his consideration. So it was achieved, Honorable Chair. Vacancy rates remained at 10% or below. These were achieved as of the end of June. We were having a vacancy rate of 6.2% of all that are latent funds. This was a decrease of about 0.4% since the 31st of May. In the California, the zero tolerance approach to crime, fraud, and corruption. Ethics management program developed and approved by the executive management of the department. This was achieved, and the ethics risk and opportunity assessment has been conducted and the report approved by the DDG to counter corruption and security. 60% of the reported cases investigated and finalized within 90 days. We would like to report this was done, and 60% of all reported cases were investigated and finalized within 90 days. In fact, this is one case, if we give numbers, this is one case out of 110 cases that were finalized within 90 days, which translates to 67%. For reviews on processes conducted and reports signed off to by the Director General, one review on processes conducted and reports signed off by the DG. This was not achieved. The branch is still interacting with the Immigration Service Management Services to discuss the key findings in order to help identify vulnerabilities. Honorable Chair, I can just indicate here that the idea is that you look at the process, you analyze it, you look at it, identifying the gaps within the process that make the process vulnerable to corruption and any activities that might create problems for the department, and based on that then analysis interventions are made. So this is why then there is a need that counter corruption engage with the relevant branch and make sure that there is an agreement that those processes have those particular weaknesses. The completed permanent residence report has been sent off by the Director General. Now 80 and that is 60 MTSS as well as 20 of that is the threats and risk assessment CRA conducted in accordance with the requirement of minimum information and as well as security and or physical security standards. 20 of the threats and risk assessments were conducted in accordance with the requirement. Then the target was achieved. In fact, in the course of 23 CRA with accompanying recommendations for implementation by respective office managers were generated. So this target was achieved, Honorable Chair and Member. The target for quarter one relating to vetting, the annual target is 468,117 for this quarter under reporting, under review. 117 fieldwork investigations. This was not achieved. Security clearance files from two provinces, Eastern Cape and Free State, were late for submissions to state security agency. The shortfall of the previous quarter has been covered and submitted to state security agency. We then do have 7 expeditions in terms of collaboration with the stakeholders in support of the service delivery. We planned the target of 7 for the whole year, financial year, and then that the quarter one will see having 2 exhibitions and 1 budget board exhibition, and this was done. it is around Easter Show, Grand Easter Show, as well as Freedom Day in Kimberley and a New Day in Kimberley. So these ones were done either to promote what Wangafeya does and how exactly we go about doing it, just to make sure that people understand Wangafeya services. Four publications of Ekaya electronic newsletter produced, one reporter, and this has been done. And it was more focused on the opening of new offices as well as permit centers, VFS, as it is known today. As part of the continued collaboration with the stakeholders, the return in business that are planned. Three ministerial in business in Bill, this was not achieved. We had one in business that was conducted in Mozambique Bay, at Konumaba in Western Cape. The communication strategy and action plan, however, outlining public participation program has been now approved by Minister Gilao, and the new program from the ministry will be implemented henceforth. Already one in Bizo, when there was public participation, was held on the 18th of July in Limpopo and Hamatang, but it was only, it was not in progress because it was outside of the reporting period. We go to program two. Program two is in relation to citizens' affairs, as financially we are known, and in ordinary language, civic services. And here, mainly the issue of issuing enabling documents relating to identity and status, as well as national identification system being developed, as well as issues of relating to good governance within the branch. The main target is to make sure that every child born has his or her birth registered immediately after birth, or at least having 30 calendar days in which the parent can present himself or herself to register the child. The target, we wanted to ensure that at least 173,500 birth are registered within 30 days. This was not achieved, and only 165,484 births were registered within 30 days of birth during the review period. However, during the month of July, a total of 61,741 births were registered already. The total births registered between April and the 1st of July is 227,225. The target corresponding period was 231,730. And so we believe, Honorable Chair, that we should be still on track to achieve the target, and particularly with our strong collaboration with the Department of Health and the optimization of hospital registration, and that we have a month upon. 1.6 million smart ID cards issued. This has been achieved, as I indicated earlier on the chain. 283,693 ID smart cards were issued to citizens under 16 years of age and 60 years old, and in particular, as those are the main targeted groups. So at this stage, we don't have a challenge around getting people to apply for smart cards, except for collection, where we still have a challenge of cards that are still not collected, sitting in the offices, which is a problem. And then the turnaround time of issuing the first issue ID books within 54 days, this target has been achieved, and we give the breakdown there for the Honorable Chair. That is 96.1% were issued within 54 working days. If we give the breakdown, it indicates there are 49,539 were issued, and only 6,000 were above the targeted period of time of 54 days. In total, we issued 155,563 IDs. 95% of IDs for reissue. This was also achieved at 98.5% of reissues were issued within 47 working days. And only 2,112 were above the target period. Passports, 95%, we always measure in around time of passports. Now there are offices that are using the manual process, in other words, office is working from still apply, and we use what we call the flat desk scanner to capture and then to send. That is not the use of live capture. And we do not achieve this target. We are at 91.6% of the main target. And then for the machine readable passports, now using the live capture process, we were planning to have 97%. We are at 87.4%. Where we were using the live capture process to issue this within 13 machine days. Under governance, administration is in reference to the toolkit. Honorable Chair, we report that this was achieved, and we held our consultation with all the stakeholders, particularly the provinces, people who use and implement a tool. The revised toolkit was developed, pilot sites were identified, and we gave them the names, and then Honorable Chair, don't think I need to read all of them. Just report that it was done, and we gave them specifics in terms of it. Then ESCO approved the revised toolkit. Under immigration services, there are three main targets: refugee and asylum seekers are managed and documented efficiently, movement of persons in and out of the country regulated according to risk-based approach, as well as enabling documents issued to foreigners efficiently and securely. Honorable Chair, the refugee IDs, we had planned that we have to make sure that at least 50% of those that were applied are issued within 90 calendar days from the date of application. We were able to issue 1,349 applications. We received this, and we obtained 735 IDs for refugees were issued, and 23 cross applications were returned. This provided a total of 788 that were adjudicated and then finalized. But the percentage in a nutshell is 258%. Refugee travel documents, that is their passports, that they use for traveling. The refugee travel documents issued within 90 calendar days. Now, applications were not sent on time. This target was not achieved, Chairperson, because of the processes that delayed the submission of applications to be finalized for the travel documents or passports of the refugees. And this target was not achieved. We also had an upgrade of the VR where all systems stay. This took about 2 weeks for us. So there was lost time during that period. The next target is about movement of persons inside and outside of the country, regulated according to risk-based approach. Here, Honorable Chair, our focus is really more about border management agency, and that the feasibility study would commence in quarter one, and the work plan is in place, and we report that these ones are achieved. DHA and DHX have entered into a formal agreement and project charter. The project charter outlines what work will be achieved by when. Currently, costs, 8 of them of entry, with either improved residential or improved office accommodation, or both as a set standard. The target was to improve 2 priority costs of entry, and the unfortunately only Robbins Bridge has been completed and has full occupancy during the quarter under review. Alexandra Bay Port of Entry took delivery of the item, ready the prefabricated structures for accommodation and office space, which is earmarked for infrastructure improvements during the month of July. So it falls outside of that. So only 1 out of 2 targeted port of entry office accommodation improvement was achieved. And the surveys along the borderline communities conducted. The project team was to be the target, have a project team in place, and establish methodological survey adopted by the sponsor. This one is achieved. A sponsor involved with the DDG was responsible for the ranking, and that is the IMS. A project team has been established and the route has been adopted by the sponsor, and we are happy to just report that this project in fact has commenced as we speak. refined immigration policy discussion paper based on research and government engagement approved by Minister. This has achieved the draft immigration target was draft immigration policy paper revised by the immigration policy project team and signed off by the DDG IMS, taking into account the research that was commissioned by the department. And Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, this has been done. It has been achieved. Now we have a draft immigration policy paper that has been revised by the immigration policy project team and signed off by DDG, taking into account the research that was commissioned. Enabling documents issued to foreigners efficiently and securely. The reference is to the 50% permanent residence application adjudicated within 8 months for applications collected within the country. 50% of permanent residence applications. So we have 50% that if you look at our APP, it's also 50%. So that then by end of the year, we should be able to know that we are hard achieving this target. At this age, Chairperson, Honorable Chairman, would like to report that this target has been achieved. In fact, it is 12.5% more was done than the planned target of 50% at 52.5%. We see this as quite a good improvement based on the efforts that the department has put in place to make sure that the permanent resident applications are re-adjudicated as speedily as possible. The achievement of the result of tax adjudication, which ensures the applications that were due to a mature in quarter one were separated from other applications and adjudicated during the quarter. In other words, these permanent residence applications were not just left and bundled with all other applications, but were separated and then targeted. Today, let us see how if we deal with them as a special area or as a target area, how best we can do it. The next target of business critical skills and general work permit also adjudicated within 8 weeks. Now this one, 52% of business and critical skills was achieved. In fact, Honorable Chair, this target also was surpassed at 77.1% of temporary residence visas that were filed within 8 weeks. Honorable Chair, that was performance in relation to core business and that we had to do. But as Honorable Chair indicated, that this is not just about service delivery, but also the budget that you always support us. And therefore, I'd like to also report on that. And I request, Honorable Chair, that our brand new from the box CFO takes us through financial performance. What is Wambi?
Are you ready? Okay, I'll do my bit. What's it down? I'll go with my team, sorry. Thank you, Chief. Chief, may I thank you for your welcoming remarks. I look forward to engaging with the Solid Committee.
Thank you. Thank you for your welcome remarks. I look forward to engaging with the Solid Committee and I give a commitment to go back on my team that will work towards fixing what needs to be fixed. Chief, if you look at the financial performance of the department as the 30th of June 2014, you will see that there is some pressure on the budget. We have sufficient requests for unforeseen unavoidable funding of the national treasury, and then there's the self-financing part which is still outstanding. If I can take you to slide 58, person, the budget of the vote itself is 6.6 billion rand. The spending on that is 29%. It's slightly higher. Okay, I'm not sure which microphone is going to be on the other
side. Let's go that is a little microphone that's on. If one of them is on, then you'll be covered.
Thank you, Jay.
Is it not there, though?
This one should be there, Jay. Thank you, Jay. Let me use this one.
Yeah.
Okay, as I said, the budget for the vote is 6.6 billion rand. Spending as of 30 June is at 29%. If you can follow the slide, there's a budget and the certain spend. as at the end of the first quarter, using a linear projection, we should have been on 25%. This is not too much of a concern given the vote, as there were greater drawdowns from the IEC for the election. Chairperson, if you can down with us, is earmarked fund, 2 billion votes, those funds are earmarked for the Independent Electoral Commission as well as the Conscious Publications Board.
The mic not taken off. I don't think it's cut it off.
Chairman, I just give you back to slide 38. As I started, as I said, there's a 6.6 billion rand, yes, and 29% reasonable values for higher drawdowns of the Independent Electoral Commission. Yeah. If you look at the department alone, it's the last line, it says DHA only, we are spending 24%. This is in line with linear projections, but I must point out, Chair, that there are pressures on the budgets, so compensation, modernization, and goods and services. As the acting DJ has pointed out in slide 11, there are major challenges facing the department, and there is pressure on the budgets. If I can then take you to slide 59. So this slide just gives you the breakdown per economic classification, the compensation of employees, debt bank 24%, departmental agencies and accounts is 44%, those are the IEC drawdowns, goods and services 24%. So on linear projection, it looks as though we are set to spend our full allocation, and if we get additional funds, obviously we'll be able to spend that as well. Which is like 40. This gives me sub-program breakdown. Of all these sub-programs, legal services are facing a challenge. They are already on 38%. This is because of the late admission of the claims from the state attorney and the late payment of those on the quarter. You'll also notice that finance and procurement itself is sitting on 50%. There was a 200 million rand shift from finance procurement to allow for the modernization projects in the hope that we will receive some self-financing funds from National Treasury. Thank you, Bench Slide 41. Again, Chair, it's listed now the sub-program, Citizen Affairs. Citizen Affairs, if you look at the total, it's 39%, Chair. But again, this is because of the Electoral Commission and the Thompson Films and Publications Board. If we take that closely, Citizen Affairs should be in a position to spend its full allocation and may even face budget pressures. On the next slide 42, immigration services, they are looking as though they are slightly under budget, so but this is because we have not paid for the deployed officials to DERCO yet. These lands only arrived in the second quarter, so this figure, the expenditure for this figure has increased. So getting close to the end, budget versus expenditure, the SAP program, this is the breakdown per province. As you can see, the provinces are all spending very, very nicely according to plan and according to budget. The only exception being Mpumalanga, which is at 28%, which should be rectified as we go along. Chair, I must commend the regional managers for their prudence and the manner in which they manage their budgets, and it gives us some confidence. Slide 44, Chair, this is on the revenue side, the collection side. In this regard, I want to just point out that we have not collected revenue from foreign missions, and as we're still engaging with DERCO, we had a meeting with DERCO last week to sort out some of these issues, and the revenue will increase as and when we get the money from DERCO. We are just engaging them on the process to be followed,
to make sure that we are in a position to support all the figures in our financials. So we're not going to take revenue for which there is no supporting documents. Chairperson, then this is a very last slide. I think I'll leave that to the chairperson for the DG.
Thanks very much, Temple. We then identified the priorities going forward for the department, and one of them was effective management of immigration to contribute to security and development. This includes opening a public discussion on immigration and leading the establishment of a border management agency. This remains our key priority going forward, so that at the end of the day, we meet the targets and time to ensure that this country has a border management agency. So there will be that continued engagement and public discussion on immigration measures. But also, comprehensive and secure national identification system that will be supported by public through, amongst other measures, early birth registration. And the early birth registration, 30 days is really a maximum time people have to register and not regarded as late registration of birth. We would like to really emphasize this point. Otherwise, every child, to avoid what we call a scandal of invisibility, where a person exists but is very difficult if it doesn't exist because there's no proof of existence, is something that the minister has been driving and communicating. That early birth registration can be a negotiable part. It's a responsibility of every citizen to make sure that every child is accounted for immediately after birth. And then ending of registration of birth, this has remained an area of concern for the country in that it opens up a fraudulent entry to the National Profession Register. And for us to have a reliable profession register that is for integrity and that everybody can trust that this country knows how many citizens it has, we have to ensure that this process as it exists currently ends. And the target date is the 15th of December. And as Minister announced, Minister Kigawa, that people have enough time to come out of woodworks and bushes and metal that they get themselves registered. And that is why this ending of late registration of birth by the end of December 2015 target date has been set to give all citizens who are eligible to be called citizens get their birth registered. Home Affairs will modernize. We will make sure that we invest in people, processes, and technology to ensure that our department really operates through high-tech, cutting-edge technology, but also with highly trained, skilled staff, as well as professional and ethical management. And improve service delivery and promote good governance and collaborative administration is one of the commitments that we have set ourselves and that we continue to pursue. And I think we had earlier indicated that one of these areas is in relation to financial management, as we indicated in the earlier slide, just like 10. Of course, there should be development of officials that are ethical and patriotic and professional, as well as visible and firm action in the fight against corruption, so that we leave no stone unturned. And that is why we've got a very clear objective relating to zero tolerance to corruption fraud in the department. Honorable Chair and honorable members, that is where our presentation ends. Thank you.
Thank you very much for a very long and of course it's an informative presentation, and also of course to realize that the new CFO has actually gone through the documents, and we hope that as a team at Singular will assist each other in putting some strategies on certain issues that need to be raised. But just before I open it to the floor, when you've got two children and then one needs to eat half of a loaf of bread, and the other one should eat the other half, and then you have a situation where one child eats the whole loaf and the other one is not. Then when you work on the average, that all of them have eaten 50%, but you know that only one has eaten the whole loaf and the other one is hungry. And then you say, no, it is fine. All of them have eaten because on average, they've eaten half. And I just want to put that in front of you, especially in relation to the phasing in terms of the categories that you have already spelled out, where you have a situation where you overspend on one, and you underspend on another one. When where your average is, you are around 25%, and then you claim you can't. There must be prudent management and ensure that all of them, that they go together up, because wherever you are not spending, then service delivery has been postponed. Wherever there is not the correct spend, that means service delivery. No, we are not bureaucrats and not, we are politicians. We are looking at the spending as service delivery delivered to people on the ground. So less spending, service delivery postponed. Honorable members, I think we have heard this. Gumede wanted to kickstart, and then followed by Honorable Hussein. Then will be followed by Honorable Rafuti, then will be Honorable Fichland, then will have Honorable Nko, and then Honorable Kane, and then it looks like all of you. Should I go on this in a row? It looks like all of you. Can I just go around like that? Honorable members, is it a problem? Yeah, and then start Honorable Gumede. As far as we can remember the numbers, and then where we got it, then we'll just jump across. Continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the acting DG. I think, firstly, it should be clear, after adopting the National Development Plan, what we want is a professional and a capable public service. That is, people that are having the necessary background or that are trained to have that type of background, and systems that are in line with the prescripts of law and prescripts of government in our country. That is the first point I want to make. Then coming to systems, I would like to ask the department whether it does have an internal audit. An internal audit to verify information that it gets, and that is independent. Secondly, on page 15, we have page 17, under strategic objectives of secure, effective, efficient, and accessible service delivery to citizens and immigrants, we have these 90 new people who are supposed to do this very important work. Are they vetted? Are they scanned? Are their backgrounds checked? Because in some instances, to employ people that are unvetted and get results in employing perhaps people that are untrustworthy, and then as a result would later embarrass the department because of what they do or because of their omissions. Page 26, the issue of invisible targets. How do you target for the invisible? Then page 33, the 8% of refugee travel documents issued within 90 days, and then, but this target has not been met. There has been an outcry around this aspect. What is this present status now, and what are plans to improve on this unacceptable situation? Then the last one will be on page 38. Page 38 is around the IEC. This year there are a number of by-elections. Are they according to plans? And then if so, do inform us. If not, are you going to come later and ask for further amounts to run by-elections? I've just seen two municipalities have been dissolved, and then there could be by-elections as a result. Have you planned for this, and then if so, how? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hussein.
Thank you very much. I just try and deal with them in the three different sections of civic immigration and possibly finance at the end. So I just want to, the first thing I want to raise is the issue of the birth certificates, the new ones. Now, I take it with interest the comments that the acting DJ has made in terms of the importance of parents registering their children within the space of time, and the attempts by the minister as well. And I understand that there's also going to be possibly a fine that's going to be imposed at some stage for people who don't register the children within 30 days, all of which are possibly good ideas. But then in the reply to a question that I put to the minister about birth registry systems at hospitals and how many of them are working, a large number of them are not working because of connectivity problems, as I'm told. Now the question I put to you, sir, is how do you expect people to comply with the minister's request, your request, and the department's request when your own systems are working? And yet you still want to impose fines on people because our systems are not working. It doesn't make sense to me. So the follow-up question to that is, are you aware of it, and what are you doing to fix it so that people can, at these hospitals, register their children within a short space of time and prevent you from imposing unfair fines on them at a later stage? And to the point of the fines, is there some mechanism that would be in place for parents who attempt to register the children within 30 days, and because the system is not working, that they will be able to appeal against the fines that have been given to them? Then, Chair, the document talked about, may I just find the page quickly, I think, 694,000 births registered, that's the annual target. And then your quarterly target was 173,000 births, you didn't achieve it. There's a lot of children that are being born to this, and it's a lot to capture. People are very busy out there, and very worried. But nonetheless, how do you actually know that these are the number of people that, number of children that have been born? I mean, is it a figure that you're estimating? Because I suspect the problem is that you're working on a figure that might not be correct. Because if you're encouraging people to register, the indications are that people are not registering. And if they're not registering, then it follows that you don't actually know how many children are actually born at any given time. So, which then comes back to the target, is that you set a target that you're not, I understand it will be a moving target, but I'm not sure that you're going to fix the problem if you don't really know exactly how many children are born. Is there any attempts to get records from hospitals or whatever? I'm interested to hear that. Then the next one on civic chairperson is the annual target on smart ID cards, which is 1.6 million. But actually, the quarterly target is 200,000. But so something is making sense there. I wasn't very good at maths, but I can figure out this one is 400,000 for a quarter. So, is it now the second quarter going to be a much higher figure? And here, the unabridged birth certificates, I know that there's been a number of delays. I'm not sure which program this particular one falls, but I don't quite pick it up. And I know that there's the attempt to try and move towards one electronic system. I'll be interested to hear the acting DG's comments on the progress that you've been making on the unabridged birth certificate process and the ability to turn that on around quickly. I'm sure you're aware of the problems that people are having in trying to get unabridged birth certificates in a short space of time. To come to the immigration and the issue of refugees and asylum seekers, there was a recent article in the newspaper, one of the Sunday newspapers, about
the human rights violations at the Lindela Repatriation Center. And this is not a new problem, it's been around for many years. In fact, if I recall the figures, the number of court cases in the last financial year against the department for holding foreigners beyond the required 120-day period, which is illegal, I think last year was about 212 or so. And the previous year was about 100 and somewhat, and the year before that was 53 odd. So there's a very clear trend that the department is constantly breaking and violating our own Immigration Act based on the reply to the question from the minister. And I haven't heard in this progress report whether there are any attempts to try and fix that. The costing, I can imagine, must be running to millions and millions of rands that we're wasting on cost orders against the department, because we're violating our own Immigration Act by holding people illegally beyond the period of 120 days. Chair, on the finance one, I just have just one question. The question is this, is that on the AG's report, they make certain findings and adverse findings. I'd be interested to hear whether or not the department takes any action to address those. You presented some figures here, but I kind of get the impression, and I might very well be wrong, that the AG makes these findings, the adverse findings, and then that report gets filed away until the next report again. Does somebody in the department actually take this thing and sit down with it and identify where the problems are and then come up with some sort of turnaround strategy or plan to try and fix the problems? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think what Honorable Rafi said is...
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I think a good work needs to be commented. However, I think it's very, very crucial, especially with so many foreigners in our country, that we should embark on this the national identity system. We should really have a campaign on this national identity system so that people may be aware that in the Home Affairs, we've got this system in place, and those who are not really South Africans, they must be able to know that we are doing something as this department. But I need to be openly and honest. Like last week when the Auditor General, when he was presenting the audit of the department, it was in an appalling situation. And I think with the appointment of the new CFO, probably he will put the books of the department in a healthier state. And we hope even the staff will also comply with the set target, and they will be able to assist in ensuring that the books of the department in the right order. I'm also worried about slide 41 on the electoral commission. What is the remedial action? Is it not going to change, the progress? Because they have already spent about their linear production. So what is the remedial? Or do we... if you can assist us there, because I think even when they appointed you, when you look at the Auditor's General report, you were shocked. We were also shocked. So please assist us, work with us, and the DG keep on contacting, and even also, take even the hands of your subordinate to ensure that we go in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you for the presenter. I just want to echo your statement that some people are taking the whole of bread. Only got one slice left. I don't think anybody is going to ask us. Chairperson, a point of clarity, because I'm just worried about the decline on the issue of my ID cards. It total about 400,000, now we're talking about 208. The second issue that I want to ask on page 10, it's about the vacancy rate below 10%, but I wanted to know that below 10%, what is the number, and why we still have vacancies that are not filled in? Is it because of budget? On page 13, this one is about corruption. Every page, we talk, every time we get presentation, there is corruption, corruption, corruption. What are we doing about this? Because I had information from one of the people from Nigeria that says she's going to go to Pretoria to get extension or whatever, but they pay 2,000 rands. That 2,000 rands is not paid to the official. It's paid to somebody who's working with the official outside. When a person gets there and get the money, then she will be called. Even if she's at the last in the queue, but she will be called in and be given the payment. Now, I just want to know, what do we have in place to stop this corruption business, especially in Pretoria? Then the other issue, it's a concern about the elderly people with this new smart ID card. Some of them, they go to Home Affairs. I don't know if they've been invited or is there a way called, I remember when the minister say they will call people according to their date month. But now I think some people are just going there. But once they get there, some of them, they say you must pay. But those people are more than 63 years old. So I just want to find out if you know about the difference. The other issue is the issue of the training of officials or staff. Is the training done in the department or is it outsourced? If it's outsourced, how much does it cost? I'm nearly about having my last slide. Okay. I would say we are improving in issuing the smart cards because I've been there within 4 or 5 days I received my smart cards and my official passport. But the other provinces, they still have problems. Now, I hope there is something that we're doing, especially in the communities, the rural areas and the communities that are very far from town. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. As the board of the law is still there. Honorable Ngom.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would like to thank HEVC and his team. I'm not sure how much of the law is left for me, but I hope the trust is still in place. Chairperson, I would like to first start off with slide number 15, with this trusted traveler program, which has not achieved. I just need clarity on how do we hope to take this forward so that it is actually achieved. I think time frames need to be taken into consideration as well. I'm worried here especially about the contract with the service provider, which could not be signed, especially what is going to be happening about it. My second issue is the issue of slide number 19. That slide talks about the accurate and complete annual financial statement. If the department is saying accurate and complete, accurate means that what my colleague here was talking about, noting what the Auditor General informed us about last week, will not be seen with the type of outcome that we will see. That is what the word accurate means. I really hope that we will get a better opinion, and I'm hoping that our acting DG will inform us on the projection that we will actually see in the Auditor General's report, noting the word accurate. Slide number 20, there's that matter which was asked about the audit committee. We do take note that within the department of internal auditors and external auditors. Are they actually involved in all of this? Because, you know, we only get performance reports verified and approved by ESCO. Does it actually go through to the audit committees, because they have such an important function to play. I know my colleague asked about it, but I would just like to get an understanding of how that is going to be happening. On slide number 21, the vacancy rate, this was decreased. This was a decrease of 0.4. Can you just give us the figures again, because I seem to be left behind when it comes to figures. On slide number 23, there's this matter of the ethical conduct, where the annual target, the report signed off by the DG, but one reviews on processes conducted, signed off, not achieved. Again, what are we talking about here? Why was the target not achieved? I think there's also the matter, Chairperson, of two processes that were said not to have submitted. I've just forgotten what slide it is. I think Bumalanga was one of them. But there was a matter on Bumalanga. I would like us to talk about those two provinces. What sanctions are put in place to address the non-submission of those areas? And then the last one, Chairperson, but not least, is slide number 30. 95% of machines readable passports where again they did not achieve this matter. I think we need to get an understanding of why actually that was not achieved. And the issue of the refugees, we do see on slide 33 that they are giving us the figures, 1.349 applications were received, and so many were actually processed. But when we talk of reality in the country, how many refugees do we have? Because we have quite a sizable number. This number is like so little. How many have we got? Why are we not able to actually come up with the real figures? Because do we mean that these are the only applications that we got, noting the lines and the number of people that we have in the different home affairs? We have thousands and thousands. People actually sleep at Home Affairs. When Home Affairs open in the morning, we've got thousands and thousands of people. But then we have so many applicants. How many can we actually say we have? Lastly, the matter of, again, spending patterns. The chairperson started it quite well when he spoke about that local print. I would like to turn it around and state that we have what is called violence, which is exactly what I think is being done here. Tell us about it. Where do you take money from Paul to pay Peter? Because that is the whole issue here. We are positions, as the chairperson has stated, we need to know about it because that affects self-deliverance. So this matter of saying, you know, we have use this much and that much, it does not make sense to us as politicians. We need to know about the violence, because we know violence is what we call money chess. It's where you actually keep playing around because you are allowed within legislation to take so much of it. Chairperson, I think I've asked most of what I wanted to ask, but lastly, the issue of the priorities going forward. Very last slide, which was read to us by the deputy and DG. Deputy DG, we have an issue here on the very first bullet, where you have stated that there's going to be an opening public discussion on immigration and whatever. When is that going to happen? Because that is going to be taking the public forward. Because we seem to be talking such good things that are documented, but we seem not to be really involving our public on it. So the two things are quite important for me. Thank you.
And we have one of these online.
Thank you very much, Chair. Sending this honorable Kenya is your case. Thank you, Chair, and then to the department for the presentation. We are only left with the crumbs.
I've got only two questions here, Chair. The first one is about the first quarter target for the smart card, which was 400,000. Then we have only 208,000 documents. Are there any problems around that? Maybe. What is the nature of the 5% of ID issues that are not completed in 54 days? Is there any means that you have to remedy that situation? My third question, the presenter made mention of the fact that there are so many uncollected IDs in the department. Maybe if we can get which provinces, maybe if we can be clarified on which provinces, since we have constituencies around all the provinces, maybe we can be able to assist and announce our meetings. Or maybe the department should consider having campaigns around so that people can be able to collect their IDs. On page 43, about the budget of the provinces, I'm slightly worried about the Mpumalanga province. What might be the reason for the slight overspending at Mpumalanga? How is their spending taken? And my last question, Chair, is on page 44. Page 44. The revenue collection does not include the revenue from the foreign issues, as the department is still engaging ICO. I think, Chair, this is a need for concern from ICO. Since this is ongoing, there were similar problems in 2012 to 2013. What is the real challenge, Chair, around this? Are there any measures in place to improve this situation? Thank you so much.
That is honorable.
I want to know more than nothing left. Mine is to complain. They won't get anything. Honorable Hussein, his first question was about this birth rate. If you go to 28, you 1,000% know. Is this the true expression of the birth rate of this country? 1st April to 31st July, 227. What is that? 227. 200,000. And 27, what's about this figure? 2725 and that's 19. Whether is this a true reflection of what is happening? And as he was saying, are you basing us on assumptions or estimates? And then the question that I wanted to ask mostly is how can we define this information? Well, the information is very clear, very straightforward. I didn't have questions to ask you because if this is what is happening, it means there's improvement. But what was said by the DG, by the AD yesterday? No, that's great. It doesn't correspond nicely with what I'm seeing and I'm hearing from you. The last thing that I wanted to ask, in particular this one, how can we verify this information? What is it that you can give to us so that we can see that really what is written here is a true reflection of what is going on? Now, I talk about fighting corruption. On one hand, we are talking about service providers. And on one hand, we are told that these are entities outside the department working with your staff inside the department. If you are still continuing with service providers, how are we going to fight the corruption? Well, they are the people which are putting things inside the department and later in manipulating the systems because they know better in order to advance corruption. So, if you can show us, how can we ensure once we are still continuing with service providers outside the department, how can we ensure that you deal with corruption? The last one, President, is the 90 people which are being trained. And on one hand, which is linked to the same thing, is better than the smart ID. What happens is you have not been trained, but you are able to produce so much out of it, out well trained people, because the markets are that we are skipping, going to train them. So something to me is not come together. If maybe I didn't listen properly or I'm not listening properly, you can clarify. Thank you very much, sir.
Ben. Honorable Ken.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you for the position. It's unfortunate that I'm called my last. So I got nothing now. Can I? Except to say on page 11, they're talking about major challenges. On the major challenges, they're talking about the lack of capacity in physical areas, especially in the recycled inspectorate. Now I have a concern. Yes, I see on page 17 you have such a table, the sum of the trainings, but I don't see anything that talks to these critical skills. Yes, she said that yes, as much as some of them are not yet achieved, but what about this tradition of combating careers? What can be done? What measures are in place? Or what mechanisms have been done to see that is rectified? If you say lack of capacity is a critical charge, is a major charge also. And coupled with that, nothing is clear about the critical skills. And also on page 11, I think this is number 8, we're talking about the improvement of administration, especially, but it's another challenge on improvement of administration, especially financial management. We keep on saying this is really contradictory. If you say that a major challenge, why are you on slide 19 and 20 talking about these accuracies, which the government is talking about? Noting that since 2009, according to AG's report, we're also going to touch on this issue because it is telling us, all of us. Because to say that there was no clear indication of even an unqualified report ever since 2009 until 2014, there are even audit reports. So really to have those slides like on page 19 and 20 that talks to the performance that you say that you are performing well now that you've made progress, now that you're sending these reports to the Auditor General. It's just amazing us. That is why we are really, really concerned about it. It amazes us. Because it is really contradictory. We can't talk about accuracy. We can't talk about good performance when the report for 5 years has been the same, no indication, no qualified report that indicates so that at least there is something but it's qualified. You see even the addresses, there's nothing that talks to unqualified report with those few aspects. Because I think on page 10, maybe there is an omission on the issue of working days, 54 working days and 47 working days. I think some of my questions have been asked. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you'll understand that the members are talking to your previous record of Auditor General. And we have not yet looked at your data. We are talking to your history. Also, honorable members, I think that in one meeting we asked for duplicate ID data. things that the committee secretary received, probably the day that is happy will get it from him. I'll ask the agent to make him happy so that he can pass it to us. And I think the delegation from Home Affairs, you've got a long list of questions. Probably you'll be able to slap them together, those that are similar, so that we don't talk for the whole day. But from my side, I would like to hear a talk around the turnaround strategy for the audit outcome. Remember that we have received a document from the Auditor General in terms of what's called the management letter, whatever it's called, which is detailed. And then for the past financial year and moving forward with this one, what is there that you think about it? And then we have indicated about submission of annual financial statement. That is the compliance theme of submitting. How credible is the data on the document? And then, of course, that normally it is dependent on your source document. What is the state of your record keeping? I think that is just from my side, and then ask the acting DG to take a hot seat away.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair Member. We have noted the questions. I have a team that will support the responses from every angle. Honorable Chair, yes, it's a lot of questions, but we will try to respond to them to the best of our ability and as accurately as possible. I think one might start with a very large issue you have raised about. I think you clarified the issue of submission of statements and the accuracy component that we need to deal with. Because this compliance is what is critical for us as well as accuracy. That's why we put it there in the target. Because we believe that the data must be submitted as accurately as it can be without misrepresentation at all. So we agreed, Chair, that it was compliance we submitted and the data we submitted we believe was accurate. That doesn't mean it was then saying we are clean in terms of the audit and the AG's presentation as indicated. But what it means is that we are able to submit the information and be able to present to the AG that which is at our disposal according to performance of the department. But I will allow our colleagues to respond on the issues of finance per se. We have not yet made any presentation share on the issue of the, because we have not checked our annual report. So we will await for that table and then be able to respond to other issues. But let me start with the ones that I think we will have much more information to respond based on not need to wait for the annual report. One, we fully agree the issue of the capable state and the objectives of the National Development Plan. And the department has an internal audit in place in the department. They do work, but also for the audit committee that we try to whom we present our quarterly reports to them. So that at the end of the day they can verify and look at the information that we present on our performance. So as the internal audit committee is there, they do their work. We had previously a challenge about their capacity, which has been in the main result for them to be able to have the capacity they require to do their work. And I think that we are in the process of strengthening that particular unit to make sure that they can be as thorough as possible. But they're also supported by, we bought also a team monitoring and evaluation unit in the department that also looks at every report we submit must be supported by evidence So with evidence-based reports that we do on a quarter basis. But cutting to the internal audit, it was raised before even by the AG that we needed to strengthen the audit committee, and that is what we have worked on quite hard at this stage. So they need to do the audit even of the issue of the technology or the system, just to see whether the systems are meeting the objectives that we intended to achieve. And the people being vetted, yes, our effort in vetting has been quite aggressive. In fact, when we realized that there were challenges of capacity within the state rotations, we asked that they give us a dedicated team that will assist us in doing the vetting. And everybody who does work, at least we do what we call a security clearance checks, criminal checks, at least as a minimum. So that when they start, we got a basis on why they're appointed before they even start around that issue. Vetting, as we have indicated, we are not able to wait until the complete process of vetting is done for the examination. But in the contract that people stand, there is a clear indication that that is subject to vetting. If the outcome is negative, then people know that they will be dealt with accordingly. But if then it's positive, that is in other words, they are not found to be wanting in terms of integrity and the necessary integrity checks that the state security conducts, or then those people will then remain in the job. So we are working hard with state authorities to deal with the issue of the vetting, because it has always been a challenge, and that is why we made that arrangement with them to give us capability and capacity to speed the vetting process. But yes, tell people to start before they complete the vetting, just when we do cleaner checks. And they are all of the clear around it. Individuals are targeted. It's mainly one the province. The nationals have one the province, and in particular in areas where we believe we need to also take services to the people. We also have individuals, not just to go there, but we also target areas that clearly have still needs where we can have services that are rendered through the mobile units for a particular week or 2 weeks in advance to just make sure that people at least have got access to services. So the intention is that all provinces at least there must be one individual that takes place, and that is fair distribution then in terms of the provinces. But that the areas also must be areas where there are quite clear needs for us to take services to the people in that area. But that kind of system, in terms of just ensuring that the citizens have an opportunity to engage with the minister and the top management of the organization. Refugee travel documents, we're working hard on improving this area, Honorable Chair, and to make sure that the travel documents for refugees are issued within timelines. In fact, we have just reviewed, Chairperson, now, the process itself, so that when they apply, they can use the similar process that we have of the citizens to apply at a local office, and any office, rather than to have designated centers. And that once we have our metrics on the system, they can use what we call online verification system. At the end of the day, that is what makes us, even for citizens, to improve on our turnaround time to issue these documents. So there is a process that both immigration and civics are working on, and our IT system people are just analyzing some future charts on the development of the system. We've done some testing on it, and we believe we should be able to be on track to issue the travel documents to refugees in time. We just also discussed matters with the refugee sector people, just to see how best we can assist them where they've got challenges around the issuance of these traffic documents. So, Honorable Chair, that area has been a pain for the department, a problem, but we have reviewed the process. We're piloting it now, just to see how best it can work in terms of our system. But it will now no longer be a designated area. Once the pilot is done and we are convinced that the system is ready, they can do online verification wherever they are. We should be able to then issue their travel documents in time. Item Financial, the IAC budget. These are, if we look at it, there's a budget that we indicated there, but my, the finance colleagues will talk to it, but you could see that the expenditure was high there. It was because of national elections. Now, one of the national elections, then there's a normalization of their budget. Taking into account now that we will then have the 2016 election, then there will be a budget that is given also to take into account that it no longer has administrative issues. So for by-elections, IEC, I'm sure they can respond better how they manage their contingency plans for dealing with by-elections based on the budget that will be given to them. But my colleagues from finance might be able to respond to that. The question can you indicate that I must talk to or maybe just clap it together. In relation to birth registration, I think honorable members, the birth registration, we had to have scientific basis for the target. And if we look at the mid-year expenditure, we can be able to prove. We went at great length to engage and worked very closely with SSA. And the reason for that was we needed to know the issue of birth rate in the country for the past 10 years, and then to see whether the birth that are registered in total, including those within 30 days and those outside of 30 days, how many births were actually registered. And based on that, we then made the targets as we set them. So what we project in there is just what we work with SSA to set our targets. So these are not some targets. They are based on scientific evidence that is provided through SSA. And then we set our targets based on that. So that is the indication, if you look at it, why we're moving from a very, we move from a very low base of birth registration to where we are today. And so I just want to assure our honorable members, particular committee, that these figures are figures based on scientific evidence of birth in the country. And what we are reporting is not how many births occurred in total, honorable chair. With its birth, we have registered. Yes, within 30 days. We have a state of birth registered outside of 30 days. And then we've got a state of birth that is the registration of birth in the out process of those 15 years and above. So the figures here is mainly focusing on birth registered within 30 days because that enforces compliance with the law. And as you will see there, since the launch of the National Birth Registration Campaign, if you look at our annual performance plan, it indicates how we have gradually improved the birth registration from a very, very low base. And that if we were to make reference to at this stage, I don't know, but you will see that from 2010-11 financial year, we were just about 500,000 births being registered within 30 days. And then as of last year alone, we were able to register in 2014, 642,000 births within 30 days. Now, if you look at that, you will realize that there is a change in terms of culture by the citizens themselves. And I want to emphasize this point. The home affairs must create an excellent condition, but the responsibility for birth registration and come to home affairs is a citizen's responsibility to register the child. So the efforts we are making in terms of communication is to change the mindset of citizens, that they must know that they have an obligation to register the birth of a child. The government has done everything to create incentives, as per Honorable Hussein's issue of class raising, because with the issue of the, what we call the social grant that government is, it makes sure that people do respond. In terms of benefits, that alone is a high incentive for people to register, but there are more benefits. We have engaged with the School of Education, they have made it clear that they support us in making sure that children, when they register for entry to school in grade R, they are demanding their health certificate. We have now worked with the Department of Health to make sure that, recently the Minister of Health launched what we call an Connect. So that the mothers who are prospective mothers, who are pregnant, their details, their SMS has been captured, and then we are working with them now to see how we can leverage on that. So we're collaborating with the Department of Health, and every effort is being made to make sure that by the time the penalties come, in fact, citizens will not need to be penalized because they will be doing what is legally right, but registering the child, rather than waiting for a penalty to be issued to them. So we are working with the Department of Health also in relation to their network. Where there is a problem with network, we use what we call 3G. It's not the best of solutions because sometimes it's off, sometimes it's on, but rather than nothing, that is what we rather do in those hospitals. And then thirdly is that in terms of capacity, we have minister made it clear that where we have presence, we must make sure that also the staff goes to those hospitals. And we had to embark on what we call an optimization of bed registration project. So that these hospitals, 389 of them, we make sure that we treat them as offices and we move their registration site to them rather than to our offices. So then the mothers will not have a burden of visiting and through while they have just given birth. So there are a number of efforts that we are making, working and partnering with these departments, even entering into what we call memorandum of understanding, Honorable Chair. At the end of the day, the message is the onus is on parents to register birth within 30 days. So we're working towards that on the mission. Smart ID card target. Honorable, I fully agree with you. There is an incremental approach on how we were going to increase our targets per quarter because we started with the base of 7 offices. And then we said in the first quarter we will be adding capacity and dealing with whatever lessons learned to make sure that these offices are optimally utilized. We then said as we move from second quarter, the numbers will increase. The reason for that is you will have more offices that will be connected with the last year's solution. So the more offices you have, the more intake or the capability to have. Even if you look at the third quarter, the more offices we connect, the more the higher the target increases. So it is an incremental approach in terms of the smart ID cards for people to come forth and be able to apply.
While you are still refreshing yourself, Honorable Melas, I think there should be tea just outside. If you could just wrap the tea as it were. Because it looks like we are going to be here for the whole day, given the number of questions that we have posed and the elaborative answering that we are getting, we may be here for the next 4 hours. Please, that's if you can just grab the GS and when you start. Thank you, Commissioner. Those that move, then they must move honorably, so that when the SPDG has just been collected, then you can just continue.
On the other is the certificates, the ratio of turnaround time and improving on it. Yes, Chair, we have noted the issue of some challenges with unapproved certificates and the turnaround times. But I must start by saying that firstly, the turnaround times are published on EMA is 6 to 8 weeks. Now, the challenges we have with some of the unapproved certificates and is what we have stated upfront. The problem around birth records, it is a challenge that we would normally have. And we've, as the department presented there before, and one of the reasons why we are modernizing is to be paperless. Now, I want to start by reminding honorable members that the department, in its pursuit to remove this burden on citizens, from the 4th of March 2013, we did what we call people unprecedented. That is from the apartheid regime, if you remember, there was an appraised certificate vis-a-vis an appraised certificate, which meant citizens will come back twice for a different type of a certificate. Two was that they have to pay for the certificate called unappraised. So from the 4th of March 2013, the department introduced an appraised certificate for the first time when you apply and at no cost. So that then the citizens, when they come there now, no child will leave Home Affairs office if it's born between 31st of March, sorry, between the 4th of March to date, will get an unappraised certificate. The only problem are the elders like me, whose birth was registered some time ago. Because at that stage, this appraised certificate is what was issued. It was not even an option whether you want it or you don't want it. It is issued and then you have to get it. Then later you can apply for unappraised. Now, unappraised created a lot of paper-based records that we currently have, running to millions. So when you have a problem of finding the records, we then do what we call an SMS to the parents to say, function 170, please can you visit Home Affairs for you to submit an BHA24, which is a birth registration document. Why we are not doing this as a blanket is to avoid creation of a new population register, because NPR must still be protected with its inadequacies. So we request only people where we have tried to find a record and we can't find it to then come back and resubmit the DHA24. But it is something we have to do with great caution, because people might change their identity, which might differ from the original record. And that is why we have a challenge with the unappraised birth certificates. The effort, as the Honorable Hussein asked, one of them is to digitize all the records. And there are efforts that are being made in the department so that our records are electronically available. In that way, we will have less of a problem in the unappraised certificates. The Lindela, I think the department put a lot of effort to deal with the Council Lindela. Just to remind the members that this case of human rights, although the judgment was made recently, but it comes from about 2 years ago. It's been a long pending case. Just that the decision was made recently in relation to this matter, when already Minister had previously indicated that we must monitor this thing on daily, almost weekly basis, immigration services to submit before anyone reaches that general time of detention. That there are people who are approaching these children. Efforts are made to engage with the missions that people claim they belong to. And that is one of the things that we must put on record. The problem is sometimes the people who are being detained will give false information about their address, who must then claim that this is my citizen, and they can be deported to that place. When you bring those foreign missions, we even go to getting them to come and confirm whether these are their citizens. They will literally say, this is not our person. And this person will change later and say, no, in fact, I'm not from this country, I'm from this country. You know, then engage with that mission. So we do have some challenges about the issue of deporting these children. So it's not that willfully the department will detain people beyond that term. Because if you release them, then at the end of the day, we don't know also where are they going to go. And that is where we have some challenges around that issue. So, but we are working hard in terms of that issue. The department is now is monitoring this quite seriously at this stage of the motion. I think finance will deal with the question of address funding. Is there a plan? But I know there is a plan because we do, after every address finding, we will do a what we call audit action committee that we established. But they will talk to the chair. I have spoken to the issue of the IGC and I did indicate from Honorable Fatou the issue of the IGC budget, whether they will be able to cope with violations coming. And Honorable Figlin, the issue of the decline in the smart ID card, I believe I've dealt with the issue that this is an incremental approach that we have. We're not declining in terms of going backwards. our budget to increase as we add more offices and to get to the target of 1.6 million. COO will respond to the issue of the vacancy rate. And what I want to do now is the CEO can take all other HR related measures that you might want to take or any other measure.
No, thanks, Chair and other members. In terms of the numbers for the vacancies that we had, we were sitting at around 499 positions, which represent the 6% that we talked about. But I think in the process we've had some of the posts unfunded because we have had to do a prioritization of our composition of employees' budget. So that then reduced the position that we're vacant to about 69. What we have to do is to look at the pressures. I think CFO talked about the pressures that we're experiencing in our budget. We're also trying to avoid over expenditure on our compensation of employees. So that's why we took the decision to reprioritize scenarios. The only other issues relating to the Honourable Kong, I think, raised the issue about the issue of the opening of the public discussion on immigration. The Minister is in the process of setting up the holocam, and soon after that we will have a broad discussion in the public space, because basically we're looking at discussing the new immigration policy of South Africa, and I think the process has started actually from September as we move forward. So I think the Minister will make announcements in the process. On the issue of the uncollected IDs in the department, we do have a list which will provide the paper office with the numbers are there. So I think we'll take, but we also have campaigns, Honorable Chair and members, that deals with asking people to come forth and collect the IDs. The issue is that because of the beaten around of the smart card, some people think that's a scam when they get an SMS after 4 days that they'll collect their cards and stay at home, you know. But also, I think with the elderly people, we also experiencing the fact that the majority of them, due to the availability of transport to collect, they will come this month, apply, and then the next month they'll come and collect. But also because of their financial position. So I think that's the situation that we're faced with. Unfortunately, we have not obviously finalized the mobile technology for the smart cards, because smart card needs to be activated before it can be issued to a citizen, the person must come back to the office. But once our mobile technology is up and running, we'll be able to go to the citizen with the equipment and activate either at home or wherever we find them. So I think that one we are moving forward in terms of ensuring that we will be ready with that mobile technology. On the tracking issue that was raised by Honorable Philin, yes, we do have a dual mode in terms of training. We do have in-house training because we have set up the Learning Academy with trainers that we have employed. But I think we do not have sufficient numbers, but also the expertise in different areas, particularly at the management level. So that is why we partnered with various institutions. One of them obviously is the National School of Government. Previously, we also had a program that we ran with the Rest Business School. So from time to time, obviously, we'll use our because also some of these higher education institutions have built their capacity in public sector management. So I think we cannot ignore some of those intense programs that they're offering. In terms of the cost, I will have to look at both, say, the internal versus the external, because if you know the internal one, if Learning Academy chains of shelves at the office, that is a cost component that is associated with it. So we could look into that in terms of the actual numbers. I just want to emphasize the point that the acting DG has applied on insofar as the audit committee is concerned. It's true that the audit committee obviously plays a significant role in terms of providing oversight. But I think we need to acknowledge the fact that we also have our internal audit unit, which is fully functional, but we had a problem of leadership at the time in the internal audit. So the post was recently advertised because the incumbents actually had been suspended for a longer period than it was subsequently released from the position. So we advertised the position on the 8th of September. We had interviews with the chief audit executive. But currently we have a contractor who's an individual amended to take care of the position. And I think we've seen a lot of improvement. Obviously, in a lot of this function, they carry out
various functions. One of them is the performance audits, the regularity audits, and the IT audits. So those are the activities that they perform on a regular basis. And it's true that before we even submit the quarterly performance report, we have a responsibility to verify the evidence that is accompanying the performance information that we have actually submitted. So that is their responsibility. They also help us with the MPEG process, where, for example, we submit our reports on the management on the MPEG process, which is a Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation to ask us to do. So we have that particular responsibility. As spoken about, I think the vacant itself. Those are, I think, the issues that I should just highlight. And thank you very much.
Chairperson, I'm not going to repeat the response of the acting DG on the IEC. I think that issue is covered. So I think it's suffice to say that the IEC is an independent entity and they draw their money according to their business plan. So they have made provision for the national elections and they'll make provision for the by-elections. In response to your question about the turnaround strategy for the audit matters, we did receive the final management letter from the AG last week. We are already working on our audit action plan, as the acting DG has said. This audit action plan must take into consideration the findings of the AG, and I think we need to do some serious reflection and introspection as a department to turn the situation around. Faith and the team and the commitment on management that this is possible. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of hard work and dedication, and we commit to give you that. So, Chair, from that side, I think the best for us at this stage would be to commit to the committee to say that once this plan is ready, which should be ready by the end of this month, we would come and present it to the committee and get your guidance to ensure that this plan is feasible, practical, and implementable. Sometimes it's good to make plans on paper, but the practical implementation out there is sometimes problematic. Chair, all of that includes the intention to submit interim financials so that the AG can come on earlier rather than later. Chair, this is an indication that I should stop.
No, not in a process that we should stop. That bank volume must be a big test. I think that's all. It's organized now.
It looks like a chip.
You have to keep mine on so that the noise will come through there, not with the podium.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there are other questions on the environment. There's a 200 million rand environment, the one I spoke about in the presentation. That is to cover our self-financing. We took money from finance procurement from our capital allocation to make provision for modernization. So we're borrowing from finance at this point in time to start modernization. We hope to get money from National Treasury through the buy and the process, and once we get that, then we'll balance our books again. So we're borrowing against future revenue from National Treasury, which we hope you'll get. There was also the issue about the overspending on Mpumalanga. This is because of the Easter holidays and overtime. There was also a 6% budget cut across the board from National Treasury. That affects our baseline, and that places pressure on the budget. But from that perspective, we're not in a honeymoon phase. So we live within the cost-dependent measures. We're doing our best to prioritize the activities, core functions, and cut out all of that from operations. So our focus is on operations. So I think those were the issues that were revenue.
The revenue. I think that you are not spoken to the revenue collection. I think the one member that asked whether there is anything that you have not already
said. Chief, I'm the chairman. Look, I will respond to the issue of the revenue. Because we are on a cash basis of accounting, we can only record the revenue once we collect the documents and the actual funding from DIRCO. So because AG is still not happy with our process in terms of how we account for revenue in our mission, We told Durko not to pay up for now until we outline a more detailed approach that speaks to what AG is expecting from us in mission, then for them to pay, and then we are repeating the weaknesses that AG found in the process. So what happened, once we received our management letter, we actually met with Durko, and they, in mission they have what they call a corporate services manager, which is responsible for finance in the various missions. And we've outlined a certain process for them, and we are hoping that we can finalize this process by the end of this month, and then communicate to various missions and ensuring that we address what AG is expecting of us in terms of the Durko level.
How many health units over a couple of number of years. I'm sure Honorable Minister has been in the committee for some couple of years. How many have you been in the committee? Is it correct that the end of this month there will have there with you?
Chair, what has happened is that for the past two financial the department received an unqualified audit opinion in 10 and 11 financial year.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 12, 13, 13, 14, AG raised weaknesses in terms of our relationship with Durko, mm-hmm. and how we manage the relationship. So over the years we have put processes in place in terms of how we manage the relationship. For example, the first year was to say, Durko pays you randomly, how do you account for the revenue? We met with Durko and the division, we then set our process. And the second year was to say that how Durko then in the missions record the revenue of the problem. So we even visited a few missions, we benchmarked, we developed the process for those missions in terms of how to account. Durko then opened separate bank accounts for Home Affairs revenue in the mission. In this year, which the management letter has issued, they've now said that there needs further improvement on that process. So then we met with Durko in through the corporate services managers when they were here last week to outline that process. So what we are aiming to do is is to say that we feel that it's something that's within our control in terms of what AG is expecting of us, but what needs to happen, Jay, is for us to sit down with AG and Durko in one meeting and say, this is what AG is expecting of us, and this is what we can and cannot do. So in terms of turnaround, Jay, I cannot say it's going to take us something because we have a dependency on Durko and their mission. As Home Affairs, we do not have representation in all the 123 missions. I think we are in 30 odd missions. So those are the bigger ones which we can control. So on the way we don't have representation, we are fully reliant on Durko employees.
FPDG, and you have got a new CFO, brand new. I think that the department, if it sits together, it should be able to get over this thing once and for all. Not an improvement, just sort out that problem. It shouldn't be a big problem that can take 5 years or 7 years. I mean, it shows that maybe we have hit the ceiling in thinking. And that can't correct in a department like this where men and women that are so instinct problem, then can reach the ceiling. But as long as you know the problem as raised by the AG, then you should be able to respond to that. And I don't know whether you really need the AG together with Durko in one meeting with you. I'm not sure of that. But sure, you need a serious meeting between yourself and Durko. They can give you their limitations, and then you must make sure that to achieve your goals, then how do you make up for those limitations that Durko is presenting to you? Because you are the person that's obliged to try to achieve whatever goal that you want to achieve. So it can't be a chronic problem for years and years. I think it's hard to get over. You may continue.
Can I
ask
anything about financing? You know, we will do that on a because there was a process set up around the issue of their to make sure that first of all the conclusion of this MOU that is a specified thing between us and the roles and responsibilities. So I think it's just to take this matter to the ultimate conclusion, so that then it's not that we will go back to face to each other and they say, oh, it's here. I think there are only a few things now, Honorable Chair and members, that have remained from our side class. The issue of the corruption. I think we need to emphasize this, but even the department on the point where we did not want to keep on talking about corruption. But unfortunately, we don't have a choice but to deal with it and confront this scratch. Because if we don't do it, then it becomes a bigger problem. So that is why we have a number of interventions, rather than just creating the bridge itself. But can I tell you, Honourable Member, that we also collaborate with various institutions of government to monitor these particular incidents. But it's very, very difficult because it keeps on shifting the way corruption takes place. And what we have emphasized now was that we need to make sure that all our offices, at least within the vicinity now, we need to make sure that we've got cameras also that are very functional and checked and monitored. Because if we don't have cameras, we can't even go and review what happened around you. And so the government also has strengthened really its collaboration with the crime intelligence. We're really collaborating with various security agencies to fight this scourge of corruption. So I'm hoping that the efforts we have made internally, in terms of processing applications, we did introduce what we called biometric logon system. We call it very brief backend system. That system has served us a lot to fight corruption, particularly in civics at this stage, because it has meant that people can be identified in kind of an audit trail who effected transactions. Because we're dealing with huge problems of corruption relating to marriages and fraudulent deaths and all those things. So we have an issue of fraudulent certificates. So the government is expanding its program of fighting corruption, including the use of this system to the various sections. Because at least now, the staff knows we can determine, even if we do it now, we can always go back and identify you as a person who did that. In the past, we were using what we call the PIN number, and they would give it these user IDs. They will give it and share it, those who are corrupt in the syndicate. And then at the end of the day, the one who is upset will be the one whose user ID is used. And there is proof of the authority. You can hold that person accountable. So we had to move towards the use of fingerprint lock-on system to fight this corruption. So, it's not easy, but we are doing our best. There is a lot of awareness around this matter. But the portfolio committee can ask us, also public education is critical on this matter of people who collaborate in the syndicate, who then get involved in our community. So we need a very comprehensive strategy to fight corruption, not just internally within the team, but we need your support in that direction. So the 2000 rand is difficult if no one comes forward to say this is the person who paid the 2000 rand. We have a challenge, but we are fighting it to the best of our ability. And there was any question here around elderly paying 140 rand or need to pay. I have a smart ID card. Can I clarify this process? One, if it is the first issue of a smart ID card to a 60-year-old and above, it's free. But if they lose it in whatever way, unfortunately they have to pay the 140 rand. So there might be a legitimate payment where the card is being replaced. But there might be illegitimate payment where someone is taking a chance of an elderly who might not know I'm not supposed to pay. Then that would be a difficult thing, but it should not happen. First issue is free, reissue is at a cost.
Let me explain that one.
Can you explain the issue of particularization of the people who are not affected by smart IG? Because that is very interesting.
Honorable Chair, the approach has been that people who apply for smart ID card will come to avoid the high numbers we cannot manage. But that then people will come based on their month of birth, and that it will be their invitation. So that is, they can then come and apply. That the category will be the 60-year-olds as well as the 16-year-olds. Only. But we didn't want to announce, and I don't think I'm announcing yet, even if there is need. But that offices that are saying they are not meeting, if the volumes are low in an office, and also if the office is already has marked ID card capability, we must try to eliminate the issue of showing books again, because people have not come back. Therefore, then we will in that office not issue book, but issue only the card, even if you are outside of that category of 60 and above, as long as you have money to pay and there is a space in the office when you are there, you are going to wait. That is aimed at making sure that we do not have a dual process of book and a card in the same office. And that is why we want to make sure that we replace the card as quickly as possible. Honorable Chair, those are the categories and the process that we follow. But we were not going to be ready to alarm situation where there's capability for smart card to stay in people. It just does not make sense. And then there was a question, I think, on ethical conduct and why was it not better get not achieved. But it was honorable accommodation of the letting that the two provinces that is Eastern Cape and Fifty did not comply in what is the issue of the punitive measures. Yes, we the provincial managers are held accountable for this, and there was a follow-up for them to make sure they submit this. But I think at the end of the day, the question of them really being punished for failure to comply, because one of the problems, I think we have said in the department, has been the problem of accountability and support. That if you fail to do things, you must be accountable and there must be consequences. So, Honorable Chair, we will go back to make sure that these provinces, all of them, are achieved accordingly. Because non-compliance, and based on what you have raised earlier about your concerns with the financial problems, we can allow that to take root, Honorable Chair. I'm sure I've sorry, Honorable Chair, unless you remind us of what might be significantly left out in our responses.
Thank you very much. I think you have tried to deal with all the many versions. I think we just switch off the mic. The many versions. But I think there is one critical issue that was just said in passing by the CFO, which we thought that I think it is very clear. The possibility of the department to obligate itself for a media audit, which I think it is not obligatory now, but for the department to do that, in order for the Auditor General to assist the department as you move. So where that is a thing that the department wants to really commit itself to. Because it has been raised, I think, generally and specifically, that it is a thing that it has not been welcomed. And probably you could not be assisted in time. Because of an NDA audit only. We need a lead to this historic audit outcome that we have been associated with in the department. And I just wanted to really know whether is that the attitude that the department might have seriously, or is it just investment in passing?
The media was
I have not had the opportunity to engage with DG on this issue, but in my informal discussions with the DG, I think we have agreed that there's a need on an interim audit. We're working, Josephine and George and myself, we're working towards presenting figures for December. So for the second quarter in the September, we plan to have internal audit auditing our interim figures so that we get into the discipline and the habit of producing complete and accurate information for financial reporting purposes. The December figures we plan to use or lease assets. So in other words, we want to have our asset verifications done, we want to have our lease audits done by the end of December, and give those figures to the Auditor General to audit as an interim. Should they then find issues and say, listen, your asset range is understated or something, then we still have time to go back before the 31st of May and correct those mistakes or inconsistencies. That's the intention, Chair. So from my perspective, and from my discussions with my team, Chair, this is where we are.
Alright, I think we can only be happy about that. We can only be happy about that. The CEO, or the COO, not of the SABC.
Okay, Chair, you should have one day. If you think that's my the question that Honourable Kenya asked about the lack of capacity in critical areas and what we have done about it. I think the first step that we did, we have done a skills audit in various sections of the department. Because one of the things that we actually is that as we modernize the department, there are certain functions that are not going to be relevant anymore, where we have to move people, for example, to do certain functions which are either, you know, they need skills of people who are IT competent, for example. In the past, you used to have people taking fingerprints, you know, helping with forms and so forth. So those things are no longer happening. The forms are online, for example, in the smart card. So you need to be able to have somebody who's got the skills to do certain things and to ensure the accuracy, because one of the problems is that when for example, the smart card is done, after that process is completed there is no human interface. So the correctness of doing that at that level is very important. That's why we said we have to do a skills audit to show that we recapacitate our staff. So I think the issue is something that we take very seriously, because obviously we can't say bye-bye, you know, to the certain category of staff and we bring new people. So we've got to reskill those that we have. So we've got to get training at various levels, senior management, at functional level. So I think those things are continuous. And also I think those who are in professions like the thing that you said was raised earlier on, the internal audit, the management, finance, there's continuous professional training in those areas. And we do encourage, for example, our members of staff, make sure there's part of their performance agreement to include in their training development needs on an annual basis. Attendance, you know, to those critical conferences and training to ensure that they're in line the trends and developments in their area of specialties. So I think that for us is very important as management. There's just one issue also I wanted to highlight. You know, when she talked about that in the area of fighting corruption, a lot's been done by the department. But obviously those who are corrupt and who are doing corruption, they keep on changing tactics. But also I think we're not looking at it from the point of view of what it asks, but also we need to look at the outside world, because I think the outside world has got a lot of syndicates that impact directly on our staff. And one of the issues that has just been raised in this meeting is the issue relating to Kendela. I must highlight something that is of concern to us, is that what the FNDG said, some of these nationals, they do lie about their citizenship and who they are. Some of them even come to the country with their own documents from their country's origin, and they hide them. And they claim that they do not have documents, and they lead an alarm. we've got the facilitators, they get the facilitators, they get our refugee passport. Somebody comes from Somalia, for example, you know, they then fly to the nearest country, whether Kenya, and then when they get there, they take out their Osnan passport from the country of origin, and they cross over. So we can't pick them up because this person would have left our country with our refugee passport. On the MCS, it shows that they went to Kenya, they did not go to the country of origin. But when they get there, then they change the ticket. So we deal with those kinds of people. And I think we're paying sometimes trying to explain some of the frustrations that we face with. And we find ourselves on the back foot, you know, on a regular basis. But I think we'll continue to enforce the law as the Department of Home Affairs. And that's the one issue I think that for us is very critical. And also I think the issue of those who are lying about their country of origin, they end up staying over more than the period that this year highlighted in Linnell. And knowing very well that they also have boys inside the country who will quickly take up some of their cases because it will plead that they are being actually treated and because they have actually not told the truth about their country of origin, so they can facilitate their reputation. Technically, they will usually take it so that they are not sent to their countries of origin. They know that our constitution will protect them. They know that there are human rights who are already, you know, enhanced to take up their cases. And then at the end of the day, I think as the government of South Africa, we look very bad in the eyes of our own public and our own lawmakers. But the reality is that we are facing a situation where people misrepresent and we are unable to actually facilitate the importation because of those particular issues. And I think really it's a reality that we deal with on the day-to-day basis. And we are obviously trying our level best to ensure that in the process we do not violate any of our legislation because we remain both legislation as to facilitate the management of immigration in the country. Thank you very much.
Okay, I think you maybe we may need to talk to your risk committee if ever you have any in the department. Because they should be able to talk to all of these risks. And then we should be able to be try and be ahead of people. But I think you avoided one of the most difficult questions, as far as I'm concerned. I think one honorable member asked, on the training, you look not to be achieving on your targets on training. But then on your targets, then you are claiming victory of achieving them. There is then a disjunction. You say that you need to train staff for them to be able to do their work and achieve. And on one side you are achieving, again. So one member is going to ask that. Is there any... I know that it may be a difficult question. Is there any possible explanation? Whether maybe we don't necessarily need the training because they are performing. But I understand that they need training.
Okay. No, Chairperson, we need training, and that's why the Linnell Academy was established. And the issue is about the third target is about retraining of the people, not that they were not doing the work before. Retraining, refresher training for them to understand. Well, the department introduced a home affairs qualification, understanding that you can't go to any university and be trained on home affairs. And then secondly is that the others are newly recruited people, and that's why if you look at the concept, it's an underlying rule is supposed to be inducted. So that they are inducted in the department and then will be able to be professional and doing more in depth in their understanding of work. So we need training and we are open at this stage we will facilitate all people who come there. Some of them is just that they started at work. If you look at the target that you talk about before you start work, and yet we had 43% there because others had to start as I indicated. We had pressure on immigration matters, for example, where we couldn't say these people are appointed, they must wait, and the base bridge was standing. So we had to do what we call on-site training, and while they are there, before they can be moved to a classroom lecture format of training. And then other training was, we developed what we call directors facility manager operations. These people are now being taken through the training program so that they can also understand both immigration and civic matters, rather than to focus just on immigration or on civics, because they were more linked to civics as part of their job. So those are the processes we're doing to just make sure that you have an all-round aider of Home Affairs. When you say I'm Home Affairs, you are not just saying I'm Home Affairs but only civics. I'm Home Affairs only immigration. Then we can utilize the skills, the staff also on traditional basis where they are needed. So that is what we will do there.
Okay, thanks. I think I've been lobbying for a follow-up question.
Thank you very much. I'll be very quick. I just want to deal with the Lindela matter first. I mean, Chairperson, with great respect to my colleagues on the other side of the table, we have this argument. We understand the problem. I understand this problem. But you're responsible to find a solution. And neither yourself, Mr. Mabuso, or the acting DG, is put a solution on the table. You, both of you have said what the problem is. We understand it. I read the court order. I understand what the problem is. But what is the solution, and how do you fix the thing? Because you know for a fact that the department's holding foreigners illegally for 2 years beyond 120 days. It's costing us millions of rands, costing the department millions of rands. The same money that you'd invest in inspectors. Because we know that there's a fact that there's a shortage of investment in inspectors, and I don't have to go into that topic. But if you fix that problem, it's going to have a much longer-term effect. So the question is, what is the solution? The follow-up question is that it's interesting to hear, actually, you said there were 640,000 last year new registration, birth registration from the Department of Human Rights. But that graph that you got on there from Stats shows, if you just call it up because I don't know if it's so again, that there were over 1 million people born in 2013, the last year. So we're missing about 400,000 people. That's a staggering figure. I'm not sure if you, because you never mentioned that, and again, you do the maths and you see that 400,000 people are slipping through every year to our network. So I can understand the motivation for encouraging people to register the birth within 30 days, but I'm not convinced, Chairperson, that we are doing enough as an outreach to make sure that we capture that 400,000. Because if that's what we figured out for this year, I mean, if you go back 10 years, it tells you. The numbers will just keep adding up. And then the last question, a very easy, simple, straightforward question. Why are we not giving the Dalai Lama a visa?
I think you don't expect them to answer that one. Because I hope that you're not expecting them to answer that one. Because that's a little bit based on international relations. Okay, well, they'll answer as far as they can, but I'm sure it is not necessary. Honorable Ngomo?
Chairperson, I've got just a very, very short question. My understanding of especially the people that are kept in Lindela for longer periods, the people that are giving false information, is that Home Affairs some years back started up a process of coming together with other countries where you could even send out, you know, sort of how you put, finding out where the people comes from, where the people come, where the person comes from, irrespective of the country which they may have given you. How far is that process? Because that process, if it is implemented and followed, it would assist them. Because somebody can say they come from Kenya, and then they come from Uganda, and I'm aware of this process. How far is that process?
Yeah, I think the one question that the Honorable Hussein has asked, it may be put clearly that I think there's a request for a serious campaign on the registration of it. I think if I can read what he has said in terms of the numbers, he is almost proposing that the department must go on a serious campaign to really make sure that that number improves closer to that 1 million. but you always have those that have got different ideas, but they can't be in the order of 40%. You may continue. You are all looking me, but remember that you are the time of completing this exercise is in your hands. Okay? So you can raise the hand, and then Fiddler wanted to speak, and Honorable Akut, you wanted, and then in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. And it's just a simple question. I just want to ask about the water management issue. How sad is it? Thank you.
I visited the Home Affairs in Centurion yesterday. Apparently, the building, the lease has expired. They are on, they're renewing on the monthly basis. So I just wanted to check with the general, what are you doing with it, and where are you going to get another place for Centurion people? I thank you.
You may continue.
Yes, thank you very much. Can I clarify the of the 640,000 because the state say they are showing the best KS. We are reporting on only part of category of registered, not all registered. The category we are reporting on here is only those who are 30 days or less. The 31 days and above registered will then be able to provide you with that information. So it's not that they are missed, but they missed the deadline. And what we want is that everybody must register within the deadline. So I just need to clarify that. And that is why if you look at them, you see once our report is tabled, even if you go to the older one, it gives you a sliding scale comparing those outside of 30 days, whether they are registering or not, so that you have a balanced view of the best registered.
Okay.
And then on the issue of I think the this question is that needs to be assessed in effect. We are saying we accept that the regulation at least once the turnout time. We not deny that. And Honorable, you are correct. That collaboration, as I indicated, is the one that assists us even to release some of these people before. Because, as I indicated earlier, we even engage those missions. We even take them physically to go to the test to confirm the identity of a person. And if they say yes, we will then continue to deport. If a person, they say no, this is not our citizen, it means that they must stay another night or another day more while we get the most closely related person that is in my country to whom that person must be. We then have to bring that person there. So it is quite a challenge. And then, Honorable, we are doing our best to try and resolve it. As I indicated earlier, there has been a process now that you want set in place where report to minister has to be done, not waiting until something erupts. To say these are the number of people who are reaching 100 days, these are the number of people who are reaching 120 days, what could be the reason for their stay there? And then inspectorate to other with immigration will work on how can this matter be resolved before it becomes a crisis. So there is an effort we are making. Only where it's exceptional circumstances, we might not be able to meet that deadline. But it's not that effort is not being made. And only through monitoring who is teaching this day was clearly the best way to deal with the matter and intervene in time before people reach beyond their limited days. So at this stage, those are the efforts that the minister's oversight himself as to where we put in place. I think the issue of Dalai Lama, it remains a question that will be, I hope, posed to the relevant authority. The only issue is the ones we receive the application. Chair, can we waive that one? And then the issue of the collaboration with the all the VMA, how far we are, has that indicated that the general is not here, exactly because now we are doing what we call the feasibility study and are doing a benchmarking exercise. So it's moving quite with, it's within well our reach to make sure that it is established within the timeline set, and so is the direction right now. They were instructed to do international benchmarking, how other countries are dealing with the problem. Centurion, I can assure members that we're no longer just talking about this problem, but the minister 2 weeks back initiated a meeting with the Minister of Public Works, and we were attached to that meeting to try and find ways of unblocking any challenge. So, and there is now a process that has been set, a minister-to-minister process, to deal with problems of home affairs and emanating around accommodation and the issues of leases. So, that team is the DG's team level. From there, they report to the DG's. If the matter can be brought there, it moves to minister-to-minister. So at least now there is a mechanism that the minister, Kikaba, and minister Masay have set up to deal with challenges of anything, whether it's leases or not. Centurion, I will just verify now, because we did, after the meeting of ministers, Honorable Chair, we got the list of all offices where public works confirmed to us that 280 leases were renewed. And one will have to just check whether it's a lack of information on the side of the head of office, or is it true that Centurion is outside of that list. But as recently we received that full list of all offices where public works confirmed that all the portfolio firm affairs of 208 offices has been renewed. And therefore then can we just go and check this office in particular, why would they still be talking of a month-to-month lease? Because we've got a written confirmation on the offices whose leases have been renewed. Honorable Chair. And then I think the risk committee will not take what you preach.
Yeah, well, it is in relation to that entire question. And, so that the department is appraised with the possible risk that may come. And if it is active, it should be able to run ahead from the groups that are out there. I think honorable members, we need to actually thank the delegation from Home Affairs. They've done their best. And under the circumstances, it's a very big department, and which is actually affecting all sorts of human beings in this country from birth to death. And it's a lot of activities that they have to do. And much of the work that they have to do, they have to use human beings, which are vulnerable. And we're creating all sorts of problems, and it is going to be the job of all of us, wherever we can make a meaningful contribution to the smooth running of the department, wherever we can. And we must really appreciate, I think, the new CFO, for whom I think then we can have all hopes that we'll have a clean record keeping in the department to ensure that the audit activities can run smoothly. Then the turnaround strategy on the audit outcome, we expect that will also improve. And the interim audit, then we'll be dealing with that, and credibility of the annual financial statements that are produced, so that we really have hopes of improved audit outcomes. And of course, it's deal with the issues of the Lindela and the terrible challenges in terms of revenue and all other sorts of problems that you need to solve for your work to run smoothly. We really hope that all these will receive your best attention moving forward and ensure that this department starts moving towards a clean audit and best service delivery, but also financial management performance that is on the upper side of the scale. think all members, we really need to thank the delegation and also indicate to them that they are released, because we still have internal work here to do for the next 15 minutes or so. Thank you very much, FTDG, and your entourage. Thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we've got 2 sets of minutes and a report, of your visit to Barak. There is nothing confidential. You can be around here for the next 15 minutes while we execute this unfortunate task that we have to do. No, you have to propose adoption of certain reports before you can run out. Yes, and then honorable members, I think you have got the minutes of the board, which honorable would say wants to propose adoption. Have we managed to read that set of minutes? The minutes talking to the day we decided not to continue with the consideration of a referral from the speech about the chairperson of the IEC. So that's only one item there, that considering that resignation, and where we agreed that we're not pursuing with the consideration. Honorable Kane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before that, Chairperson, the chair from the second time, because to my understanding, if it is set up, then it means that you are responsible. So I just want to check if my apology for the funeral did arrive in the postal committee, so that I make a follow up to my secretary.
Yes,
yeah, Chairperson.
Do you know what has happened?
What I know is that on the meeting of the 2nd of September, that's when your apology was issued, but on the 4th there was nothing.
Follow up
question. Yes.
I'm going to check for my secretary, because what? I was still going to do the general on the 6th, that's why I was not here before.
All right. And any other problem on that page 1? Those that were here?
Okay.
None on page 2, the other side of the page.
Even if one was not there, is it, is this sentence correct, the second paragraph of number 2? The chairperson reported that Advocate Kabula had tendered her registration.
It should be
a
resignation.
Yeah, yes. Just needed this.
Thank you for your vigilance. Resignation. And then, is there any other thing that we have there? Now, anybody that's moving for the adoption of this one piece of paper? Honorable Raput, you're moving for the adoption. Honorable Minister, are you seconding that? Thank you very much. And then the secretary just look for other typographical corrections that may need to be made. Then we have got a set of minutes for the 9th of September, when we were actually entertaining the Auditor General. It was actually almost like a workshop. And then on page 1, that is the agenda there, the agenda. And anyways, the apologies was Mr. Hussein, who has also decided to disappear. Then on the second page, anybody that's moving for the adoption of this set of I've been expecting this from Honorable Tutu, Nancy, Kenyam, Nisi, Med, Bichlen, and Hussein. Honorable Kenya has moved. Oh, Honorable Nisi has moved for the adoption. Honorable Bichlen is seconding the adoption. So then we've got the report of your visit at Barak, where I was not present. And I think this report, you had it for many, many, many days in your hands. Yes, and then, is there a correction?
Yes.
On page one?
I was also a part of the delegation, but my name is not there. So
on page one?
Yes.
It's page one of the National Congress in Nisi. And then, any other problem on page one? None, page two? Remember that at the end of the day, that the secretary, before the intelligence are signed, we will just ensure that we've checked for typing errors. On page 2 there is nothing. And then page 3. And on page 3, I think what is much more critical would be the recommendation. Because remember that the report, when it goes into the House, this will then have to be implemented by the Speaker's office. And then it must be recommendations that are implementable. And they make sense. The first one, that the Minister of Home Affairs should ensure that the rollout of the life capture functionality at other offices of the department, I think it should be it, is done as soon as possible. This will limit the number of people coming to Barak Street office, especially on Tuesdays. Remember that the people that are coming on Tuesday is because of the transport provision.
Yes.
Yeah. Then are we agreed on with that recommendation?
Honorable President, may I make a suggestion on the recommendation? When we write a recommendation, instead of saying as soon as possible, let's come up with a specific time. Because as soon as possible can even be next year. So with time frames, let's get to the actual timing. I think this, I had the chairperson reading as soon as possible. So this was the time, please.
We are aware of the challenges that the department is having. We are aware of that. And through our oversight on that, we will be following it up. I think this specific recommendation actually talks only to Barak office. It seeks to talk to Barak office. So then shouldn't we then just simply remove the time factor on it? We just highlight that they must actually roll out this, but on our oversight on the actual rollout of smart ID card, then we will be making follow-ups on all the offices that they have to actually ensure that that is done. Because if you put time, and we know that they are rolling it out, they've got 70 offices, and then they've got this particular, you remember that GPW has well indicated that they can produce the 1.6 million. They don't have a problem. But the problem is the live capture functionality in the offices of Home Affairs. And now with that as well from Home Affairs, we were made to understand that we don't have a problem of putting this like capture functionality in their offices and just roll it out. There is this problem of security. That whatever, when they are putting this, they must ensure that there is security of the system, and that is the one that is actually limiting the pace at which they can go. Because there's no point of just simply putting that into an office, and then but whereas it is not safe from what do you call that? fiber, whatever, that they are calling it out there.
Yes.
So we must not make a demand that would actually make them to really not observe the security risk that needs to be put in place. We have heard the department that they are really committed in rolling this out, but then they are limited by issues of security that needs to be brought in to ensure that there is no fraud, fraudulent activities. And then I don't know what it's called, this is a hijacking of our systems.
Hacking,
yes. And I think that is what I just wanted to raise. And if you put up time, we must hold them to that time.
Yeah.
But now if you put time that you know that it may not actually live up to it, it will definitely create war between ourselves and the family. And I don't think that is our intention to do. I think as long as we really talk to the rollout of this life capture functionality, so that we are actually able to deal with the number that comes to Barbados.
Thank you. I just want to say that recommendation, I think it's find the wages.
Yeah.
Because it also addressed the issue of other home affairs offices who can be doing the same job to stop the impact. Because if you look at the people coming into home affairs in Barak Street, some of them, they come as far as Somerset, Fulani, Kalich, and all that. Now, you must also think about those people who come there, the old people, they can get hurt.
Yeah.
They also suffer from issues like hunger and all
that. Yes. Okay. Can you agree that we just simply leave it as it is? And then, because the time factor, I think we have it on other programs. We have it on other programs. Then the second one is that the minister should ensure that the main office in Barak is sufficiently capacitated specifically for the rollout of the smart ID card. I think that is fine. It's fine, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Then that the minister should meet with CEDA to reduce internet downtime, given that many clients have to travel some long distances to come to the office to apply for the smart ID card.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reasonable recommendation. But the Cape Town office, what is the difference between Cape Town office and Barak office? Barak Street? Is this one thing? This is one thing, let's be consistent. Let's be consistent then. Yes. Yes. Is that the Barak office, street office ensures that during the renovation there should be little or no disruptions to the services rendered to the client. I think the four recommendations, I think there is no issue with them.
I want to also remove the word there and the last one to the client.
Yeah. Disruption to the service.
Rendered to the client. We have a very people here.
Yeah.
We can't condemn clients later. So mine is, let's say, rendered to our people.
Rendered to our people.
Mm. Or the community.
The community.
Which one are you taking? Honorable Nancy. Because Honorable Nancy proposed two things. Render to our people, render to our community. Which one are you proposing?
No,
I want to come back to you. You raise two. Just tell us which one are you proposing?
To me, because the thing, it has to do with people accepting what we are
saying. What's your proposal?
No.
Render to?
No, my proposal is that because in our people, what is going to do with people?
Thank you very much. And then can you keep me just render to our people? Okay. It means one thing as Honorable Nisha understands it. So there is no trade mention. And then anybody that wants to propose that the report be adopted? Honorable
Before adoption, I still feel that out of the four very good recommendations that have been written, I was at the Barak oversight visit, but I still think that out of the very four, maybe we can have this little line stating that we need a status report on the above by this time. Because you know, Chairperson, we get quite...
Okay.
Mm. I think we need a status report.
Why don't we then above the recommendation, then just simply put a sentence that says that we will make a follow-up visit. Then just simply just walk across it. And don't stick into the recommendation. Just above there that the committee will make a follow-up visit. And that's it. Can we do so?
Yeah.
Because it has given us an opportunity to go and see these things whether they have been dealt with. And then if not, then we can come on top of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, we can wait around the November because most of the things they were promised, they were talking about next month and so we cannot go around November.
Okay. Speak a sentence there just about the word recommendation. Since the last sentence, and that the committee will make a follow-up visit within 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And then I'm sure Honorable Nkomo was saying that before she proposed for adoption, but was not there. Yeah. Honorable Nid, you have moved for adoption. Honorable Pillen. Honorable members, there is a program. I think we have run through our program. Yes.
I just want to know when are we going to send this report?
This report of Barat, as it gets signed, then it gets aged. Then it gets into the system of Parliament. You may come across it in the House on one day. No. I think yourself coming across it, either being debated in the House or something like that. But for you to go to the AGC, tomorrow morning you should be thinking on the AGC. Okay. And the Secretary, I think, give the Secretary an opportunity to go through the program. But we may not be able to approve it wholly. But there are activities that we can't avoid. Can we continue? Yeah, you can help me.
Okay. We have done the third-term program. If you, on the program that she's distributing, if you go to page 6, where it's highlighted, then the committee there, it will be on the right hand on the 14th, and then we'll receive a briefing from the researcher on the audit, on the annual report of the Department of Home Affairs. And then also, we are also planning to invite the AG again, just to talk about the audit outcome of that annual report. It will be on the same day. And then from there, it will be the Department of Home Affairs, ISP, and then that will be in one day. So, in preparation of our BRRR report. So, we are going to meet with the department and the entities in one day, just to receive the presentation on the annual report. Then, on the 21st of October, on the 21st of October, we need to consider and adopt the BRRR report because it has to be done by the 24th. So the 21st is our Tuesday meeting before the 24th on Friday. So if we stick to this, it will be done by the 21st on our BRRR report and then we have to be in PC. And then on page 10. Then, I remember last time we said no, we wanted the department to create the committee on the Zimbabwean Special Dispensation Project. So, we don't know who can call the department just to keep us on the update on it. That will be on the 4th of November. Then, the 11th of November, we proposed the VA brief the committee on IT modernization problem and the VSA on the IT modernization program and the implementation of the refugee regulation. Since we passed the refugee and then the regulation has not been forthcoming. Okay, that will be on the 11th, and then on the 18th, it will be of November, briefing on the Department of Home Affairs on the second term expenditure and performance of the services that we did today. That will be on the 18th November. I think I have to add something. Then the last one, there's going to be committee week towards the end of November. So the proposal there is to visit housing, although I do talk with the chairperson, to go to the refugee center, Tindela, government printing work, to go to the IEA office, since they invited us last time, but if we come there, we'll be coming there and also go to the head office of the Department of Home Affairs. I think that's something. The 28th, yeah, I think I keep the 28th of October. The United Nations High Commissioner, they wanted to brief us on the work in South Africa, so we have proposed that we can meet with them on the 28th of October. So that's, and then I'll simplify the problem when I email it to them, so that it will be easy for them to read. So these are the proposals.
You're going to remove some of those things so that it is, that's a clean program for what? The grade?
Yeah, the grade, yes.
Okay. Okay. Honorable members, I think the majority of the things that are in there, there's very little we can do about avoiding them. But also, of course, there is one thing that is still coming. The possibility that we may find ourselves having to deal with the replacement of the commissioner in IEC.
Mm.
So I think it may come at any time, and it's going to be a one serious meeting to actually deal with that matter, unless if the speaker decides to establish an ad hoc committee to deal with that. But if it comes to us, then it will demand some other meeting or a special meeting that may be convened to deal with that matter. But I will inform this particular program as and when that particular matter arises. Can we say we are agreed with this particular input on the program?
Okay.
Because we're not going to have any other meeting again.
Okay.
Until either if we are lucky with a strategic session where we can find ourselves in one room and brief each other, but otherwise, there's no any other formal meeting that is scheduled.
Why can't we on Monday and Tuesday with everything going on?
That's what I'm talking about, the strategic meeting. Then there is an application that has been made and no response has come from the authorities. So if it doesn't come, that means we're not going to be there at the study. Then we'll meet after the constituency period. Honourable members, then on that score, I take for granted that we are agreeing with the program. And then there's no good that has got a hard feeling about it. Especially members of opposition. But it looks like here that they are different because they are members of the portfolio committee on Home Affairs. If it's agreed, then that brings us to the end of the meeting, honorable members. Just a second, there is an announcement. This secretary is messing me up. Can you continue with any announcement? If it is there.
Okay. Now, this is, we got some letters from International Regional Parliament for those members who do not have official passport, so that they can go and apply for an official passport. You can either go to Barak or you can either go to 8th floor on 120 Street.
And the letter?
The letter, she's giving them. Yeah, you can go to Barakso as the speaker.
They don't give us the last
now, I think how many are not native of self-harm? Is there any Haitian?
All of the above.
Yeah. No, these are veterans of color and you don't have them of self-harm. You're blood. There's no body that doesn't have it.
So why is it diplomatic?
Because what?